I'm John McKee, editor of Messianic Apologetics, and this is Messianic Theology Explained. At least, we hope so. Detailed examination only needed for Paul? One of the most frequent questions I get asked is, not only what do I do with the letters of the Apostle Paul, but why do I need to expel all of this energy in understanding Paul's letters when I really don't have to do that for other parts of the Bible? This subject matter concerns hermeneutics or interpretation, how we read, examine, apply the letters of Paul, and indeed, how we read, examine, and apply Holy Scripture. And frequently, what happens is, well, Paul is difficult to understand. Peter said so. I have to put time into various translation issues from the Greek source text into English, various background issues surrounding the setting of a letter, who the original audience was, and then I have to perhaps review and compare and contrast different opinions of various theologians. And well, other parts of the Bible are so much easier. I don't have to do that for the Psalms, do I? I don't have to do that for the prophets, for the Torah, for Yeshua. If that is your approach to reading Holy Scripture, Paul takes all of this energy, which I don't have to expel for the Torah, prophets, writings, gospels, general epistles, Revelation. Respectfully, that is a very naive and perhaps even overly simplistic approach to the Bible. And the very nature of theology is that we as God's people are trying to dig deeper into a much more fuller understanding of what our Creator communicates. Many of the same issues which can be present when Messianic people read the letters of the Apostle Paul. Is Paul, for example, abolishing the Torah of Moses? Does he consider the law to be a thing of previous history? Some of those same matters are present in the Gospels. When you look at Yeshua's Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5 through 17, so much attention is given to Matthew 5, 17 through 18 by Messianic people. Not enough attention is given to, you have heard it said, but I say this, which many actually do conclude was Yeshua abolishing or abrogating the Torah of Moses. So, in order to have a more pro-Torah or holistic view of Yeshua in regard to the scriptures of Israel, one needs to look into issues present in Second Temple Judaism and certainly various theologians' and examiners' opinions. You can't just expect to read something like the Sermon on the Mount or different Sabbath controversies or other controversies where customarily in a great deal of evangelical examination, it has been thought that Yeshua, Jesus, was abolishing the Torah. More investigation, more detailed study is required, which can involve translation issues, background issues, the original audience, as well as reviewing, comparing, and contrasting theologians' opinions. Some of the same things which are required when reviewing Paul's letters. For the Tanakh itself, the Old Testament, the prophets did not speak in a vacuum. Many of the words of the prophets were given with some kind of an ancient context in mind. And they, while speaking of future time periods, are best understood or better understood for what was going on in ancient Israel, which required this decree to be issued. The commandments of the Torah were first given to whom? Ancient Israel in the ancient Near East. And there are definitely issues of translation, ancient background, the original audience, and then the opinions of Second Temple Judaism, the Jewish theological tradition, and even the Christian theological tradition to be weighed, especially as they may concern various high ethical or moral matters presented in Moses' teaching. And then, the mother of, I would say, all biblical controversies, Genesis chapters 1 through 11. There are translation issues, background issues, original audience issues, the need to compare and contrast the creation and the flood of Genesis 1 through 11 with ancient Near Eastern myths. Did the Bible copy off of different Mesopotamian creation and flood stories and rework them a bit? Or is the biblical message subversive to that ancient mythology? And then for certain, there are theologians' opinions, Jewish, Christian, etc., to be compared and contrasted. And today, unless you have been living in a cave or putting yourself in a bubble, there are the questions of scientific criticism regarding Genesis 1 through 11. Every part of the Bible requires some kind of detailed analysis. This idea that I've got to put all this energy into Paul's letters and try to sort through whether he is pro-Torah or not, but I don't have to put that kind of energy into other parts of the Bible, that is simply not true. Detailed examination of the Holy Scriptures is required across Genesis to Revelation. It really is. And this is something which is a lifelong process for those of us who are followers of Israel's Messiah and his disciples. It requires not just examining the text and considering some of the factors I've just mentioned, but also having a relationship with the Lord. Because so many of the problems which are out there in the world of ideas can originate from a person having a relationship with his or her theology rather than with God. If there is a particular subject or topic you would like to see us discuss on Messianic Theology Explained, I've got a stack of index cards right here. It keeps getting topped off, and I will certainly be interested in discussing that in the future. As always, on behalf of Outreach Israel Ministries and Messianic Apologetics, we would like to sincerely thank you for your continued prayers, support, and donations toward our ministry efforts. Without you, we couldn't do any of this. We'll see you again soon with another installment of Messianic Theology Explained. Until then, may God bless you, shalom, and take care.